Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Michael sent me notes and Steve, check this story out from Illinois. Skokie wire fraud victim wins lawsuit against Citibank over drained trust accounts from NBC Chicago. And we've heard these stories from time to time where money gets removed from a bank account and winds up far, far away, often on the other side of the planet. And somebody goes, hey, you shouldn't have released that money to whoever that was. Oh, we don't know how that happened. And here they said, go ahead and sue us. We'll see what happens there. And so that's the crazy part. There's a lot of money. And the man's lawsuit is the latest to allege that Citibank isn't doing enough to protect its customers from fraud and doesn't help them get their money back if they're victimized. So PJ Rundhauer wrote this. It's been almost 3 years since the Skokie man had his Citibank account emptied by scammers. According to his lawsuit, $121,000 held in a trust account for his disabled sister was fraudulently wired out of his account in a span of days. He said Citibank told him there was nothing they could do. Now, a new lawsuit against Citibank out of New York is giving some fraud victims, including him, hope. This, of course, is good news for the man who's been the caretaker of his sister for about 5 years now. She is 65, has advanced Alzheimer's, and the money for her care comes from a trust account set up by their parents before they passed away. And so they put a bunch of money in this account, in a Citibank account. So the man says, we've never touched the account at all. Never. Never at all. Up until October 14th of 2021, when everything occurred. Now, he was explaining all of this to the television station. And in early October 2021, the man said he happened to check the trust account balance while visiting an ATM. That's when he said he saw that the $121,000 was gone, drained by three fraudulent wire transfers to Thailand. He reported the fraud immediately, but the Citibank told him there was nothing they could do. So he had a personal banker, and I went in there, and I asked him about all this. He says, well, you're going to have to go get attorneys. Attorneys, plural. get a whole host of attorneys. Not only were they not concerned about getting the money back, but they weren't concerned about investigating to make sure it didn't happen again, says the man's attorney. So for years, the man, the attorney, and others have been fighting Citibank in court, arguing that the bank didn't get the required approval from this man for those international wire transfers. So somehow, a request for a wire transfer came in from overseas, and they approved it without contacting the guy who controls the account. That seems to be a little bit of a slip-up, okay? The banks are required under the law to notify you before the transfers go back and forth to say, hey, consumer, these are the taxes, such as the international taxes you're going to pay. The arbitrator found out that there was no evidence that Citibank did that in this case. So at the very least, they should disclose to you what the transfer is going to cost you, assuming that you know about it. As the case dragged on, the man struggled to pay for his sister's care. In the process, he lost his house. So finally this year, somebody else jumped into the fight. It was a New York attorney general, jumped in January and filed a lawsuit against Citibank, claiming its lax security procedures allowed scammers to steal millions of dollars from New York consumers who are victims of wire fraud, just like Jacobson. Although this man here wasn't in New York, but they filed the lawsuit apparently on behalf of all customers. So just like in this man's case, that lawsuit accuses Citibank of failing to protect and refusing to reimburse victims of fraud, not implementing strong online protections to stop fraud, and misleading account holders about their rights after their accounts are hacked. Earlier this month, Citibank asked a federal judge to dismiss the lawsuit by the AG, calling it misguided. It's misguided, adding they've implemented robust countermeasures to combat fraud. Yeah, what good does it do these people who are already victims, though? The judge has not yet ruled in that request, but the man says, my reaction is that this must be happening all over the place, and something needs to be done about this. And then last week, the big break came. An arbitrator ruled in this man's favor. And by the way, I suspect that's because probably buried in the mountains of paperwork you file when you open up an account like this is language saying you agree to arbitrate the case. But the arbitrator ruled in his favor, finding that Citibank didn't follow its own online funds transfer agreement and protocols by not getting approval from the man before authorizing international wire transfers, ignoring its own internal scam alerts triggered after the first fraudulent wire transfer on the account, and authorizing the final two the day after he notified them of the fraud. So he called them up and said, guys, my bank account is being drained fraudulently. They said, oh, okay. And they let it keep going on. That's what the arbitrator found. So the man says, we were awarded all of that money, $121,000 plus close to $20,000 in interest, which is because he's been deprived of that money for 2 years. And that's his attorney speaking, who was also awarded attorney fees in the judgment. So they got the attorney fees. And that's an unusual thing. And I'm glad they got them. But a lot of times in a straight up lawsuit, if you sue and win, you still got to pay your own attorney fees. And so it requires a fee shifting statute or a fee shifting agreement. And this is actually a kind of funny twist here, because by agreeing to arbitrate, you think, okay, I'm stuck with their rule, their rules, their venue, everything else, right? But the arbitrator apparently thought the only way to make this guy whole is to give him his attorney fees. And so right now, Citibank might be going, gee, maybe we shouldn't arbitrate these cases. So the attorney says, I think that Citibank and many banks and many companies believe they can win, just grind down the other side. I credit my client for having the wherewithal and the gumption and the courage to do this. Now, his ordeal is over. He encourages others who've lost their hard-earned money to bank fraud to be persistent. I would say keep trying. Keep trying. You know, do what you have to do to try to get your money back and don't quit. Just don't give up. So the bank declined to comment on this case, but in a statement, a spokesperson told us, Citi closely follows all laws and regulations related to wire transfers and works extremely hard to prevent threats from affecting our clients and to assist them in recovering losses when possible. We've taken proactive steps to safeguard our clients' accounts with leading security protocols, intuitive fraud prevention tools, clear insights about the latest scams, and client awareness and education. Our actions have reduced client wire fraud losses significantly, and we remain committed to investing in fraud prevention measures to help our clients secure their accounts against emerging threats. Well, that's all fine and good, but it says things like, for instance, we follow the law. Yeah, they probably do follow all the protocols for wire transfers. But generally speaking, if I entrust my money to you and you give it to somebody else without my permission, that's against the law. Otherwise, why don't you just pocket it yourself and just keep it? I mean, you're supposed to be safeguarding my money for my benefit. And also, this bit about, intuitive fraud prevention. How about this? When somebody contacts you from the other side of the planet and says, here's a transfer wire document. Transfer all the money out of this guy's account into our account over here on the other side of the planet. Okay. Well, shouldn't you contact the client first to see if he wants that done? And one of the stranger things about all of this is that if you transfer the money to some place that you can recover it from, obviously, that's not that big of a deal. But these wire transfers are going to the other side of the planet to places they cannot be retrieved. That in itself should be a red flag. The bank should say, okay, the second we hit go on this button, the money's gone. We can never get it back. So we better be careful and make sure that we're sending it someplace it belongs. That seems to me to be the way it ought to be done, right? But anybody who has bought or sold real estate in the last 10 years, maybe more than that, but it seems to be more common in the last few years, knows that they'll say, okay, you need to wire your closing funds from your bank to the closing agent, okay? And in the old days, they would email these instructions back and forth. But there are sophisticated hackers out there who figured out that, oh, if we can insert ourselves into that transaction and get them to wire the money to us, it's free money. So they will now tell you that they will send you the document with all the information on it. They'll call you to confirm that you're looking at the correct document. And then they will say, you do not wire anything, email anything, fax anything. Walk into your bank carrying this piece of paper and say, here, wire this money following these instructions. Then, before you walk away from that desk where that happens, have them call the closing agent and say, did you get the money? Yes? Okay, good. And so they've inserted that extra step there to prevent these crazy things from happening. So it's a bizarre story, especially the fact that he said that the account was drained in several transactions. He spotted it before the last transaction went down. He notified them of it. They said, oh, okay. And then another transaction happened. How do you expect to win a case like that? Oh, wait, you're arbitrating. And I'm not joking. I have seen cases sent to arbitration that were such horrific losers. But the company thought, well, we're going to arbitration. We got to pick the arbitrator. We got to pick the rules. And by the way, if they rule against us too many times, we'll go with another arbitrator. And that actually is a concern. See, judges and courts don't care if they tick off one side or another, because they're going to tick off one side or another no matter what they do. It's almost impossible that they can't tick off somebody. But an arbitrator knows who butters their bread, as they say. And so if they rule against the people who hired them too many times, they might get fired. So I've heard cases like this that got arbitrated, and the arbitrator goes, oh, well, your money got sent to Thailand? Go get it. But it's not the bank's fault. But here, the arbitrator said, no, it is. And interestingly, the AG in New York has also filed an action on behalf of victims like this. So some of them may not have to arbitrate their claims. That's good. So this man finally won. He got his money back. He got his interest paid. And he got his attorney fees paid. And that's huge, because without that, which, like I said, most cases that would not be the situation, that is in a typical lawsuit against somebody who mishandled your money, the fact he's getting his attorney fees paid is huge. It's huge. So it's a great win for the consumer. Michael, thanks for sending from NBC Chicago. PJ Rendhauer wrote that. Skokie, wire fraud victim, wins lawsuit against Citibank over drained trust account and hundreds of thousands of dollars that were sent to the wrong side of the planet. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law.
A lot of parents pack up their troubles and send them off to summer camp.